out of Psalm 100. Okay, so we're looking at verse 3 there. Is that it? Okay, so we know that the Lord Himself is God. Now, there's something that we almost skip that I don't want us to, even when we're saying, well, the Lord is God. And let's see if some of you can. And I'm not going to be offended if some of you in the middle of are going through this together need to move. So that's okay. I'd rather you see and instead of being left behind. So what I want us, one of the things I want us to see first is that that God has a name. And what is His name? Excuse me? Yahweh. Okay. And how do I see that in the text? Do I see YAHWEH or do I see Jehovah in the text? Do I see those letters? I don't. So how do I know that's a name for Him? Okay. Lord, all in caps. For most English, does somebody have Jehovah or Yahweh in your translation? Some might, but for the most part, in your English translations, you're going to see this. You're going to see a capital L, a small capital O, small capital R, and a small capital D. That's not an accident. Whenever you see that in your English translation, there's a Hebrew word underneath it. Or Jehovah. And consists of four letters. Now, I know that all of you go into the workplace, the recreation place, in the neighborhood on Mondays and talk about what happens on Sundays. And so as you're talking this Monday about what went on in church, you can impress your friends and relatives by saying, well, one of the things we learned was about the Tetragrammaton. And right away, you'll be impressing people. Wow, what kind of teaching have you got going? Tetragrammaton. It's the four-letter name of God. Yahweh. Jehovah. Now, somebody tell me, why is that name important? Very, very good, Jen. Because that is the personal name that Almighty God gave to Moses at the burning bush. When Moses is in the wilderness and God wants him to go back to Egypt and lead His people out of bondage and out of slavery, Moses is in some of his hymn and haws. He wants to know, well, who shall I say is sending me? And God says, tell them, I am that I am. I am that I am. Yahweh, Jehovah. This is the God that's sending you. Now, this is important because we have a God in the giving of His name. Who desires a relationship. Now, we are all, let me clarify this a little bit. We are all in relationship with God. I want to make that clear. We are all, every man, woman, boy, and girl is in a relationship with God. Some are in a relationship of judgment. Others are in a relationship of mercy and love. And this is His name. Pointing to an intimacy of relationship with His people. So as we're looking at this psalm, and it's very much about this very particular God, the one that is the great I Am, Yahweh, Jehovah, we understand right off the bat that this God of the universe is a God who desires intimate relationship with each one of us. However, that relationship has been severed on our end because of sin. So can I never have intimacy with the God of the universe then? Can I ever hope that there might be reconciliation? The answer is given to us towards the end of this psalm where it talks about His loving kindness is it forever or everlasting? Everlasting. The word there for loving kindness in Hebrew is chesed, which is His covenant love. The love that He has promised is everlasting. The promise of His love is through the coming of Messiah, the coming of the Savior who would redeem a people for the Father, who would be a treasure even unto Himself, who would be the reconciler of sinful man with holy God. The Lord, who is faithful to all His promises. The Lord is who we're studying about. The one, true, only living God. Now, you may have gods in your life, and we prayed about that. You may have gods with little g. Your sports may be a god. Your grades may be a god. Your career may be a god. Your comfortableness may be a god. Your boyfriend, girlfriend may be a god. Your meal at lunchtime may be a god. If you're thinking about your meal more than you're thinking about God, that meal has become your god. But there is only one God, and it is the Lord. What else do we know about this particular God? And Joe starts to unfold that before I sort of preempted him there a little bit. And that He Himself, it's emphatic, is God. Okay? There is no other. All right, well, what else do we know about God from this text? Okay, so He made us. If I were to boil that down to one word, what word could I use? Okay, Creator. All right? So He is our Creator. He made us. Does God make accidents? You very well may have heard that growing up by some bully, some parent, some sibling. You were an accident. My God, who is the Creator, doesn't accidentally do anything. You are wonderfully and purposefully made, each of you. Now, when I have trouble, as I'm having this weekend, with my weed eater, it's made by Toro. It's been a great weed eater so far. I'm not trying to defame the brand of Toro. But now, when I'm having trouble with this Toro, who's going to be the better judge of what's going on with it? Is it going to be William? Is it going to be me? Or maybe is it going to be Toro? Probably Toro. William is my friend, but he may not know diddly about, he may know less than I do about a weed eater. He's not going to help me. If I need help with what's going on with this thing, then I need to go to the one who made it, the manufacturer. Are you having difficulties in your life? Why ask any of us what to do? We're just as created as you are. That'd be like my weed eater talking to another weed eater about how to fix itself. We need to go to the Creator and trust that all that He has made is right and good and perfect for all His purposes. So He is a Creator. He is the one who made us. What else can we know about our Lord? I agree, and we're going to get there as a response to this God. But what do I just know, and I absolutely agree with you, Jen, okay? And we're going to get there. That's right, wrong board. You're way ahead of me. So, what else do we know about this Lord? Okay, I'm going to go here first because I heard this. What did you say? He's our shepherd. And where do I see that? I see that in the third verse. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Now, would we not all agree that the one God who is perfect. So then, how do you think He shepherds us? Perfectly. Now, that doesn't always mean that I understand what's going on. But I trust Him to know what's going on. And if he is perfect, and I'm going to gain encouragement over the fact that there is a Creator who's in charge of everything that's going on, I'm also going to be encouraged by the One who is able to sustain and to manage my life in the way that He sees fit, that's going to bring Him glory and honor in the greatest way. We are the sheep. He is the shepherd of His pasture. And of course, just drives us right back to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me, He guides me, He restores my soul. I fear no evil, for He is with me. Okay, so He is our shepherd. What else? Okay, He is a king. And where do you see that? Okay, there is this essence of God on His throne. And we can also point to verse 3 in regards to His people. Whoops. So He is a king. Now, with the shepherd, I can be filled with warm and fuzzies. The idea of God leading me and guiding me and doing all that's right for me. But something happens when I also remember that God is my king. And that is, the issue of obedience comes into play. And His sovereignty and His other likeness. He's not just like me. He is sovereign king. Psalm 115, He does whatever He pleases. Okay, down in verse 5, what else do we know about the Lord? Okay, He is the Father, which can be connected, Mr. Hampton, with this idea of His people. Number 5, verse 5, for the Lord is... And aren't you so glad that the Bible doesn't use the word sometimes in that phrase? The Lord is, present tense verb, good, always good. Again, I may not always see it, I may not always understand it, I may not always comprehend everything that's going on, I may not always appreciate, but the bottom line is, God is good and God acts in His goodness. And I have to rely on that throughout my day. What else is true in verse 5? Okay, two words, and I just heard both of them. One is the issue of mercy and faithful. This word for mercy is the one in some of the translations that we have here, loving kindness. Okay, loving kindness. It's a word difficult to translate in the English because there's a lot in it, in the one Hebrew word. It's that hesed word, covenant love of mercy, of faithfulness. Faithfulness is even included in that as well. And so our God operates out of goodness. He operates with mercy and loving kindness towards those who are His, and He operates with faithfulness. Which means that if you find a promise from God in the Word, it is always going to be good. Because He is faithful to His Word, to His people. We do not serve a shepherd who's going to trick us. We will not enter His gates only to find Him saying, as we come by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will not experience Him saying, don't come to me. But always it will be, as we come by faith in the Lord Jesus, come. It will always be that we can count on whatever that God has said. So just in Psalm 100 alone, we have a lot of identifiers as to who this God is. Okay? Now, the psalmist does not just invite us, but commands us to respond to this God. And there is a key verb in the passage. The key verb is the verb know. The key command is in verse 3, to know that the Lord, know that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to know the God who led Israel out of Egypt, to know that the God who created, even the beginning and is even now in the unfolding process of creation and creating anew and creating afresh, and the one who is sustaining, this one God, the Lord, we are to know Him. And out of knowing Him as these, there are six other verbs of response. Okay, so what are those six other verbs? In verse 1. Okay. Now, I know I just didn't hear two Baptists use that word. One, in verse 1, shout. And how are we to shout? At each other? Now that sounds like Baptists. Shout how? Joyfully. Shout joyfully to whom? To all the earth. Excuse me, to the Lord, all the earth. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Well, let's just camp there for a moment. And maybe on your piece of paper, as you're looking at responding to the God that you know, is there any reason to be joyful in God? Well, I agree. I want you to just think to yourself for a moment. How is it that I would be joyful in knowing the Lord today? Just to yourself. What reason have you got to be joyful in the Lord today? What reason did you have to be joyful in the Lord yesterday? Yes, I would agree that tied to His loving kindnesses. I agree. His faithfulness is persevering. Yesterday, what were the reasons, just to yourself for the moment, what were the reasons because of what you know about God that you had to be joyful? Just to yourself, yesterday, what were the reasons? I probably should have started here. Just give you another few moments, quietly. Yesterday, what were the reasons for you to give joy because of what you know about God? Now, my question for you is this. Did any of us shout about it? Well, Pastor Ken, what exactly are you prescribing for us? Obedience. Because this is a command in Scripture. Well, what exactly do you mean shout? What do you mean shout? Well, you know what? I was on a lawnmower yesterday, and I bet you I could have shouted to the Lord for 3 hours and nobody would have known, as loud as my mower was. Did we at least whisper to somebody or unto the Lord our joy to Him? Did we somehow verbalize? We can walk into a room and say, "Hey, how about the stingrays?" We don't mind shouting about that. When was the last time we walked into a room? And I'm saying we. I want you to hear me using the third person collective here, myself. When was the last time you walked in the room and said, "Hey, how about that Jesus?" If what we know about God drives us in our behavior, maybe this week we should shout a little bit in our personal devotions, in our family devotions, maybe in our conversations with one another, to give bold testimony as to who God is. Why are we not shouting is another question. Maybe we don't shout joyfully to the Lord because we don't know the Lord. Maybe we know the Lord, but we don't shout because we're afraid of what others will think. Which is why the Bible would tell us in the book of Proverbs that fear of man is a snare. Keeps us from doing what God encourages us, commands us, gifts us, enables us to do. Well, what's another way to respond to this God we know? In verse 1, just the next line down, "Thank you very much, Ms. Florence. Serve." And how? Gladly. Serve the Lord with gladness. So I'm not going to make you slow down as much in all of these, but what's another question? How am I, because of this God that I know, am I serving Him in some way? How am I serving Him? Well, that's what we got you for, Pastor. So David's not writing to pastors. He's writing to the people of Israel. I want to encourage you to think that as long as God gives you breath in this life, you're to serve Him. Because you know why? You're going to be serving Him in heaven. Serving isn't for this earth and then we go to our comfy chairs in heaven. Read your Bibles. We will be His servants, carrying out His will and His purposes. Even if I don't know exactly what that's going to look like, but I know this. I am His servant then, and I am His servant now. And in some way, He's gifted me to serve Him. We're not all proclaimers. We're not all teachers. Some of us are encouragers. Some of us are those who have the gift of faith. And we come alongside those who are trembling in their faith, and we encourage them with the words of faith. And some of us are able to serve with just good deeds, with the gift of helps. And so you don't like to speak. You don't like to be in front of people. In fact, the less that people see you, the better. But man, give you a rake or a yard to cut and you're there. And you're alive doing something for a brother or sister in Christ, a widow who needs help in her yard. Find some way that God would be able to use you, and that will not end. Miss Gladys, I'm going to just use you for an example. Today is Miss Gladys's birthday. And I'm not going to say how old she is. But she's a little down about it. And excited. And my encouragement to Miss Gladys was earlier, it's just beginning. God can use you now. Those of you who are 8 and are serving, are believers in the Lord, the Lord can use you. You don't have to wait till you graduate high school. You don't have to wait till you graduate college. The Lord can use you right now to encourage and to serve the Lord. One of my favorite examples of faithfully serving the Lord is has gone to be with the Lord. Miss Carrie Williams was 103 when she passed away. And until the last 6 months of her life, when she could no longer write, our sister, at 102 and a half, used her gift of encouragement to write cards to the body of Christ. Birthdays, just because, anniversaries, praying for you, just want to let you know you're in my heart today, sweetie, as she would write on her card. And it didn't have to be much. 102, serving the Lord in the way that God had gifted her. Serving the Lord as a child, how can you do that? By honoring your father and your mother, whom He has given to encourage them. Hundreds of ways that we could serve. Some of them public, some of them not. We have some servants in the church. I'm not sure that they would be comfortable doing anything else, but you know what? They're here just about every Friday to set up so you have a place to sit on Sunday morning. Maybe you never give that any thought, but that's the result of some people who are willing just to come when nobody else is looking and set up for each Sunday morning. Hundreds of ways that we could serve the Lord, but are we? And then the question is, you know, maybe the Lord has given us some area of service, but am I doing it gladly? Am I doing it gladly? Most of us, I think, if the President of the United States called us up and said, "Hey, I need to use you for a project," most of us would probably drop whatever we could within reason and make it up to Washington, D.C. and report in and be glad to be used of the President of the United States. Are we just as glad to be used of the Lord to help clean up after a worship service? Or to encourage somebody else? To bake a pie or cook a casserole for somebody who's ill? Am I glad? Why am I not glad? Am I not glad because I'm beginning to doubt who God is? Maybe I need to just go back and know again and rest on that, who the Lord is. Am I not glad because, well, He's not doing things my way? Well, I definitely need to go back then and know the God who is. But serving the Lord with gladness, how am I doing with that, Lord? Lord, give me more joy in my service to You, whether it's something small or something great. Okay, next verb in verse 1. What else? How else do we respond to this God we know? Excuse me. Verse 2, I'm sorry. And I said one earlier. Shout, serve. Okay, come with singing. That's exactly right. Come. With the purpose of singing. And singing how? Joyfully. All right, so there's this invitation to come into the presence of God. Why? Because He is worthy, Jen, to get back to you. Because of what I know about God, He is worthy of my worship. And because of what I do know about God, I know, and therefore it's going to result into my coming into His presence with a purpose to sing joyfully to the Lord. Now, sometimes we get a little distracted because what we know better than the Lord is our circumstances. And our eyes are fixed on what doesn't seem to be working right now. And so therefore, our voices are clamped down and we're not able to sing joyfully anymore. The remedy to that is to come to the One who is the Lord. He Himself who is God, who is good, who is everlasting in His loving kindness, who is faithful, the One who is the One who is my shepherd and King and Creator and Father. Keeping all that in mind of who God is will make me continually come into His presence for the purpose of joy. Now, does that mean that we don't come into the presence of God and at least admit our disappointments, at least admit our bitterness, perhaps admit our failures of sin? Of course we do. The Bible is replete with other commands like that. But the question has to become, at some point, am I coming on a regular basis because of who I know God to be? Am I coming for the purpose of singing joyfully? Or am I just always coming grumbling? Am I always coming with my hand out instead of my hands lifted in worship? Come! Singing joyfully because of what you know to be true about this God. Now, is there, I know that we all have different translations. Does in verse 2, does your translation of verse 2 come with a day of the week in which day we're to come before Him singing joyfully? There's no limitation there. So that I am not limited to come singing joyfully to the Lord only on Sunday mornings or on Wednesday nights. We are to be able to come on a Sunday night, a Monday morning, Monday night, Tuesday afternoon. If I wake up and just can't go to sleep, I'm able to go to the Lord at 2:30 in the morning on a Thursday. The invitation is, as often as I'm thinking about how I know God and who I know Him to be, the invitation is there to come. All right, now let's go down to verse 4. There are three verbs in verse 4, and somewhat related to ones we've already seen. So verse 4, what is one of the verbs? Enter with thanksgiving. Now think about this, just for a moment. There is a holy, perfect God who sits on His throne. And the book of Habakkuk says that He cannot look upon sin. Something has to happen for me to be able to enter His courts with thanksgiving. There'll be a day all of us will enter. But how am I to enter with thanksgiving? I am knowing that this God is one who has a people. How are we made to be the people of God? How do we become the flock of God? It is through the work of Jesus Christ. When I meditate who this Almighty God is, and I meditate to all His grandeur and majesty and holiness, and then I'm told to come in, to serve, to shout, to enter any of these verbs. How are any of these verbs possible to interact with this God who desires intimacy and an intimate relationship with His people? It is that we must become His people through faith in Jesus Christ. And when I think that I am able to enter into His gates, just the outer gates of the city of heaven, just to enter into the gates, to make it that far, should fill me with, you know, I could be continuing to plunge down to eternal separation from God. I could be remaining on the wide road that leads to destruction. I could continue to be under the judgment of God, but praise the Lord, I'm not. I'm entering His gates as one of His people, one of His sheep, because of the work of Christ. How else am I going to enter into His presence except with thanksgiving for all that He's already done? And this is before I'm opening my mouth to talk about the things I do think I need and do think that I want. I'm coming to begin with thanksgiving. I'm entering His presence with thanksgiving. Am I entering through the week? How heart-wise am I entering into the presence of God? All right, and then, Joe, you looked in the middle of that verse and you saw give thanks. So, my worship involves my giving of something to the Lord. My giving, not just my getting. my giving. And what is it that the Lord desires? Thanksgiving. Now, we've seen a couple words a couple of times. Joyfully, joyfully, thanksgiving, give thanks. Praise. All of this is praise and worship of who God is. And it all begins with knowing who this God is. And then when you know who this God is, and all His fullness, as you know who that, then you know what you are to do as a response. And then lastly, there in verse 4, praise or bless, depending on your translation. Bless His name. Make much of His name. And then, of course, the psalmist gives reasons. And it's almost a circle. Bless His name. Why? For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and His faithfulness to all generations. Because I know these things, therefore, about the Lord, I'm going to come back over here and I'm going to shout. Just a circle. It all centers on, though, knowing and keeping our faces towards the Lord. Now, if you are faithful readers of God's Word, you know that the same psalmist has other times when he cries to the Lord. Deep hurt. Deep contrition for sins. Anguish over enemies who seem to be overtaking him. But read through the book of Psalms and you're going to come back to this attitude of, but because of who you are, I am going to worship you. I worship you, the one true God, because I know you to be who you are. And my encouragement to us as a congregation, as we move forward in this week, as we're talking about, you know, elders who serve and deacons who serve, we are all called to serve the Lord as we know who He is. Serving Him in some of these ways, all these ways. To look for other ways to serve Him practically with our hands and mouths and hearts one towards another. This week I want you to leave from this place and to meditate upon who God is. And throughout the week, respond to Him accordingly. So this morning, What I'd like for us to do is, now that we have been reminded who God is, to respond to Him accordingly. And so let's have a time of silent prayer. And then I'll open us with prayer. And anyone who desires to respond to the Lord verbally, please do. And when that season of prayer time is done, then I'll close us in prayer. And it'll be just that simple this morning. Okay? All right. First, quiet time with you and the Lord, and then I'll lead us.